Dear listener, the Latin root of the word religion means being aware of what is good and correct. It came to mean following a set of beliefs and or practices. In the previous discussion, we saw that the source of religions is not the God of the Bible. Religion did not exist until humanity was corrupted and lost intimate closeness to the gracious, holy Creator. The negative products of religion are many. They include injustices, violence, and even wars. The word religion occurs only 5 times in the Bible, all in the New Testament and none in the Old. Yet the Old Testament scriptures repeatedly spoke against and honestly and clearly exposed the evil of religious practices. There is much condemnation of the conduct of the people of religion. For example, the sons of Eli, as priests, they selfishly took advantage of their father's position in a temple. They even abused women who came for prayers. False prophets claimed divine revelations that led to disasters. In one case, a judge presented his own daughter to be slaughtered instead of an animal sacrifice. And the list goes on and on. The first child of Adam and Eve, Cain, murdered his younger brother, Abel, because of the corruption of religion. His defective view of the Creator, accepting the sacrifice of his brother, but not of his own, enraged him to commit the first murder. The 5 occurrences of the word religion in the New Testament do not reflect positively on religious leaders or religious practices. In the 25th chapter of the book of Acts, we read how religion causes disputes and even plotting for murder. The chief Jewish priest and the Jewish leaders desired to convince the Roman ruler Festus to put the apostle Paul to death. They already had tried to kill him in Jerusalem, but the Roman guards protected him. Then he was taken to Caesarea, and on the way they tried again to ambush and kill him. Paul, being a Hebrew with a Roman citizenship, sought justice under Roman law. The Roman ruler Festus asked the advice of the Roman king Agrippa. Speaking of Paul's Jewish accusers, he said, "Rather, they had certain points of dispute with him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who was dead, but whom Paul asserted to be alive." Here we see the people of religion determined to kill Paul and others who held convictions about Jesus different from their own. In the following chapter, Paul noticed that the king was not convinced of his accusers' arguments. So he asked the king to give him the opportunity also to defend himself. So he pointed out that even according to the strictest understanding of Jewish regulations, he had done nothing wrong. Speaking of his accusers, he said, "They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee." In other words, his fanatical religious accusers proved to be hypocrites even about their own strict religious rules and regulations. Writing to the Colossian believers about religion, Paul pointed out that as Christians, they are freed from all religious rules and regulations that contradict their lively relationship to Christ. He said, "If with Christ you die to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch," referring to things that all perish as they are used, "according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Here we see how man-invented religion seeks to enslave people to follow useless religious edicts or fatwas. The Colossian Christians needed to be alerted to the danger of those who give themselves the right to issue religious edicts or fatwas which involve minute details about what they eat or not eat and how they should be dressed or not dressed and how they should even practice their beliefs. In the Epistle of James, we are warned of another worthless and harmful aspect of religious conduct. This is religious self-deception. We read in the first chapter, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless." Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So the root of the term religion points to positive and commendable qualities such as being loving, kind, or generous. To James, a true relationship to God manifests itself in good deeds such as caring for needy people like the orphans and widows and others who have material, social, or spiritual needs. Instead, religion often makes people feel that they are more righteous than others. This develops a false sense of superiority. It is usually viewing oneself as worthy of more social, political, or spiritual honors than others. It causes proudful self-deception. Such people, whether in religion, politics, businesses, or other circles, cause more harm than good. James points out that they are given to slandering others behind their backs and even seeking to demonize others and harm their reputations. Direct encounters with haughty religious people lead to the conclusion that they are self-centered people using religious practices for selfish gain. Depending on social, political, or cultural circumstances, religious edicts can even encourage violence. We already saw how the religious leaders and their followers became thoroughly convinced that Paul's convictions were so dangerous to their own religion that they justified his murder. History also tells us of most terrible uses of religion to persecute others, inflict violence, and even lead to mass murders. Some of the worst atrocities have been committed in the name of religion. Religion continues to be used even today to divide societies and nations. Religious differences and prejudices combined with political agendas led to devastating wars in the past and could do the same again these days. Jesus himself faced death at the hands of his contemporary religious leaders. We read his very words addressed to his would-be murderers. Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children," that is, his true followers as a true believer, "you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did." On the cross, before he breathed his last, he prayed for his murderers, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This was not an act of religion, It was an act of divine saving grace. It provides deliverance for humanity from all evils, including those of religion. Hallelujah.